Silence. All rise. Please be seated.
Mr. Clark, I might ask Mr. Hunter some things first. Mr. Hunter, it seems to me that as a general proposition, any document that's tendered in the inquiry should be published unless there's a reason not to publish it, or that there are some matters in it that ought not be published. Would you agree that there ought to be a reason? I'm not saying there's an onus of proof upon you, but I'd have to be satisfied of that.
Yes.
So then we come to the, I'll use the form of order that Mr. Clark has put forward. And really, insofar as I made an order of this kind earlier, I guess QP numbers shouldn't be of interest to anybody, and there'd be a reason not to publish them, I suppose. Would that be right?
Yes.
Then we get to names of any person that might identify case files or investigations, the subject of the case files or investigations, and that must be taken to be case files and investigations that are open.
Yes.
Now, what would be the reason not to permit the publication of names that might identify investigations that are open?
Well, the difficulty is that there have been materials tendered before you that, and we're not able to categorise this at the moment, but there is potentially material relating to hundreds of separate investigations, some of which have resulted in charges, some of which may not have, and a lot of them will relate to sexual offences. And so there's considerable sensitivity from the police point of view about the potential for the publication of names of people in circumstances where what's required to identify which matters do or do not relate to sexual offences and which matters are or are not sensitive is a...
Let's put sexual offences to one side, because they've got special considerations.
If there's been a charge, they have special considerations.
Then, if they've been charged, there are special statutory considerations.
Yes.
If nobody's been charged, and then if the statute hasn't been engaged, there are still matters of sensitivity involved that are similar to the statutory regime. So let's put that to one side. If we exclude sexual offence cases, then we're really dealing with other serious offences involving violence to the person generally, aren't we?
Yes.
And in that category, is there any sensitivity on the part of police in terms of potential harm to anybody or prejudice to their investigations?
The difficulty is, at the moment, we don't know which of the matters that have been placed before you may or may not have those sensitivities. I can think of two significant matters, one of which is currently before the courts, one of which is now about to be before the courts in India.
Now, we can exclude ones that are before the court, because I understand Mr. Clark's draft would exclude, not permit publication, relevant publication of matters in that category.
Well, the matter concerning Ms. Cording, the murder of Ms. Cording.
And in that's a case where, so it seems from the newspaper reports, an actual prosecution is imminent. So let's put that to one side, because we can identify that case. So cases that are currently the subject of prosecution, Mr. Clark doesn't seek any access to that. That's all fine. Cases, the particular case you're talking about can be excluded itself. So then we get to ongoing current investigations, because investigations that are not current in the sense that they're not going anywhere, they're concluded and nobody's doing anything, that can't justify any exclusion. So they're current investigations. And what's the sensitivity there in general and specifically?
Well, I can't give you any specifics because we don't know which ones they are because of the way in which the material has been provided to you. It would involve an exercise of going back and matching data to particular cases to identify what they're about.
So how do you suggest I proceed?
Well, this is why the terms of any order should, we'd say, effectively put the onus on the applicant to, if there is some material that they wish to publish, to confirm with us whether it is or is not the subject of a current investigation. And if it is not, well, then their publication would not be in breach of the order. The alternative would be for us to go away and go through every document that we've provided to the inquiry and sort them into different categories, and that's a particularly onerous task.
Well, that's right. You've got a lot on your QPS. It's got a lot of work to do at the moment in relation to this inquiry and other things that are similar. But
The other sensitivity, I suppose, is this, and that's in a general sense, that any information that has been given to the inquiry is likely to be incomplete insofar as it relates to a particular matter. And so it's troubling to my client that there might be public discussion of, for example, forensic aspects of a particular matter in circumstances where not all of the relevant material has been placed before this commission and is therefore not available to the applicant. And can I give you an example of that? Dr. Wright's evidence, or the reports about Dr. Wright's evidence, showed that because Dr. Wright didn't have access to all of the material concerning the sampling of material from the suspect's vehicle, the publication resulted in the laboratory being unjustly criticised in respect of a failure to identify DNA in what were probably not blood samples. So that's a concern that we have as well.
But that's not a legitimate concern in the sense that I'm not suggesting it's legitimate to... let me start again. That's not a legitimate concern of QPS, because if the Australian decides to write a story and it turns out that the implications in that story or the imputations in it weren't justified for whatever reason, that's not something that the QPS can stand up here and say we want to prevent that. Well, we all want to prevent it. The Australian wants to prevent it.
We're concerned that it might have an effect upon any prosecution that might ensue as a result of the ongoing investigation.
That's always a possibility generally, isn't it, in that anything's possible. You see, I thought the position of QPS was a concern that there are an identifiable category of, there was an identifiable category of information, the publication of which might impinge upon investigations by, you know, blabbing about who they're looking for or something of that kind. And I could understand that.
Our problem is that may be the case. We just don't know at the moment because of the way in which information was sought and provided to the inquiry. We have provided, as you will appreciate, thousands of pages of documents concerning the forensic register or case files and so forth. And so some of them may be in that category, some of them maybe not. The vast majority probably not, but there may be some in that category. And for us to identify or determine.
But your client would have to at least go through a sufficient number of documents to be able to identify examples of the kinds of things that you could then demonstrate, if published, might prejudice an ongoing investigation or cause prejudice or harm to something. At the moment, it's a non-specific fear, which I don't suggest for a minute isn't is baseless. I take it your client knows its business, of course. So, it would be difficult to justify a general non-publication order that something might happen, but we don't know what, which is the position at the moment.
Well, yeah.
What can you do? What can you and your client do within a reasonable time frame to identify the kinds of things that you're worried about so that Mr. Clark and his client can address it? Because at the moment, they really can't. I'll be hearing submissions from Mr. Clark that all of this is general, nothing's been identified, and journalists are very careful, and matters of that kind.
Would you excuse me, Mark?
Yes, please.
What we were minded to suggest is that rather than the QPS undertaking the exercise of sorting through these thousands of documents to identify...
Yes, that would be oppressive.
That any order be premised upon the basis that before there's any publication, the applicant raises the particular documents with the respondent, and the respondent can indicate whether there is any sensitivity or whether the matter relates to a current or...
And how quickly would your client do that? Because what you're saying is not without precedent in litigation, in which a party who wants to be at liberty to do something where there's a risk of prejudice is obliged to notify their opponent of something to allow the opponent to apply, in most cases, to a court to enjoin them. Here, what you're suggesting is that they notify you that they want to disclose something to allow you an opportunity to seek a non-publication order from me. But there are sensitivities in that because you're asking journalists to ask the subject of a story to vet a story. Well, you're not asking for that. You're asking them to notify you that something will be revealed, not the story, but a fact will be revealed. So it's not that bad. Is that what you're asking for?
It's something along those lines. And if time constraints are a concern, then any orders...
They will be, I'm sure.
Yes, any orders could contain within them a limitation period within which...
You have to respond.
Have to respond. And if there's no response, well, then it can be taken that there's an objection.
Well, that's fine as an interim measure. But in the end, something more certain will have to be arrived at so that... Because this commission will end...
Yes.
And the order will remain in place, but there won't be a commissioner to make a non-publication order. Let me hear from Mr. Clark and see what the practical approach is. You can take it that I'm proceeding on the basis that the impetus is in favor of freedom to publish, whatever the applicable principle might be, and that QPS ought to show a reason why there ought to be no publication in any particular case or according to some rule that we write down. But on the other hand, you may be aware that I've got tens of thousands of pages of documents, hundreds of thousands of pages of documents, and QPS, like Queensland Health, have been entirely open as they're obliged to be, without redacting anything. And so there is a real risk that something might be published by your client that unintentionally has a prejudicial effect. So within the time available between now and when your client wants to write stories, it's not possible for them to go in and redact what they claim to be unpublishable. So what do you suggest? I have to be satisfied, but then again, I'm not going to leave things open so that there's a risk of prejudice. So what do you suggest, Mr. Clark? Have you got a proposition?
Commissioner, my principal submission is that framework really puts the cart before the horse. Rather than there be a blanket ban and it be on either my client or another media outlet, having to bear the onus of bringing what would in essence be an application for an exemption?
No, no, no. The onus would be on Mr. Hunter to establish that you ought not publish something.
And so the framework around that, in an ideal world, in my submission, would go something like this. The order could be made to simply withdraw the non-publication order at some time in the future, perhaps 7 days or however long the QPS requires to formulate a view as to which particular specific matters they wish to be the subject of particular non-publication orders. And in my respectful submission, that's the ordinary course. And what ought to...
So what's the... What are you proposing? That what happens?
What I propose is that there be an order that the non-publication order number 12, which is the one currently in force, be withdrawn.
Yes.
But it only be withdrawn in, say, 7 days from now or however such whatever period the QPS requires, so that there's not then a gap where there's no non-publication order at all in force. And the QPS used that time to identify the particular matters or particular evidence, recalling that it's not just the identifiers that may be the subject of non-publication orders, it may be particular evidence as well, and bring an application before the Commission, and that could be done on the papers, to avoid the Commission having to be reconvened.
Well, we can reconvene, because although it's desirable for hearings to be live streamed, we don't have to have the whole business re-established. We can have a hearing.
Yes,
that's in public.
Those hearings will be on evidence, and so the ordinary course in my submission that you would follow, and indeed needs to be followed in order to obtain a non-publication order, to satisfy the Commission that a non-publication order ought to be made, is on evidence. So the Commission would be provided with evidence as to why, in this particular case, the balance of factors favours the making of the order.
Let me put it back to you so I understand what you're saying. Are you saying that I ought to make some kind of a non-publication order today, one that's not as wide as order number 12, and that I should do it on the basis that we will resume in a period of time, at which time I will vacate that order unless I'm satisfied that it or some other order should be made? Is that the notion?
Yes, on the basis of material provided by...
Yes, on the basis of...
That's so,
by whatever means, I'm not a court, so by whatever means one would expect an affidavit of some kind, but in any event, I'd be informed and you would be informed in the first instance of the reasons why a particular order is justified. So absent an application for an order, the status quo would be the order lapses at that point.
Yes. And might be, Commissioner, if such an application is filed, that my client doesn't take any objection to those particular specific
That's
orders
right.
that are
sought. When you've got a factual basis
That's
for it.
Yes.
And the draft order that you've submitted limits the non-publication to information
Can I talk to it,
Go on.
Commissioner? The copy which you've got three copies of a draft order.
Yes. There's which one do you want me to look at?
The one I handed up this morning with the yellow highlight.
Yes.
The wording of that, absent the yellow highlight, is a copy and paste from the current version of
That's
order,
right.
order number 12.
Mm.
So what that seeks to do, that addition of the yellow highlighted wording, it seeks to limit it to case files or investigations that are the subject of current proceedings, and current proceedings in that context refers to proceedings current as of today, 25 November 2020.
And we can add the other one that was in the papers today because it's...
I don't think so, because that's not a
You don't submit so. You submit
sense.
Not.
I submit it's not.
Why is that?
It's not a prosecution in the relevant sense as captured by this order.
No, it isn't, but... Anyway, we'll deal with that separately.
That can be tweaked, and if the Commission is minded to include that,
let's deal with that separately.
Yes. But and on an interim basis, I'm sure I can see constructions as to that on the interim basis. But again, noting that will be the subject of.
Well, everybody's going to be writing about that case, so there's no secret about that case.
The only thing that's not being reported about is the fact that it's been referred to in this inquiry, because it can't be.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that later, because it may be a nothing. But so what you're...
So can I ask, the Commissioner, can I ask you to then look at the other copies that I've provided?
Yes.
They're slightly updated versions of that. Mm-hmm. There's one which shows some markups just to be able to show the Commission what has changed from the existing version.
Yes.
And then there's a clean version.
Yes.
You'll note immediately number three is struck out, and that's because nothing in the Operation Gulf Alcove...
Oh, they're all...
they're not current.
Not current,
that's
yeah.
So that's unnecessary. It's just on... And it should be then further amended to say until and a date. Until...
Yes, I understand that. Let me have a look at it from that point of view. I'm not sure that that will do it, but I'll see what Mr. Hunter says about it. Mr. Hunter, the idea is that there be a restraint on publication until you're in a position, until a time within which it would be regarded as reasonable for your client to have come back with some specific propositions. So the first thing I'd ask you, if you think this is the practical way to proceed, is whether I make an order of that kind. Whether that's a practical way to proceed in the interim while your client has a think about it, and never mind about the terms of the order for the moment.
I'm trying to ascertain...
In that we can't determine this. It doesn't look like we're going to work out a system today.
I'm trying to ascertain the scale of the task.
Yes.
We understand that it's limited to things that have been tendered.
Yes.
Although we note that... Commission's website doesn't as yet contain all of the exhibits that have been tendered. There are still some that are yet to be uploaded.
Yeah.
So we're concerned that a 7-day time frame, I realise that perhaps that's one of the terms, but a 7-day time frame is likely to be onerous, particularly bearing in mind our final submissions are due.
Well, that's right, but you're not going to be doing the vetting.
I'm not, but there are... processes internally that need to be adopted by the submissions need to go through the hierarchy, as it were.
Yes.
And my instructing solicitor, who would be predominantly the person doing the vetting, is also involved in that process.
But so, the vetting isn't about legal issues, it's about police operational issues.
That's right. But nonetheless, that's, as I understand it, that's a task that will largely... be supervised and done by her.
Yes.
So that's a concern that we have, whether 7 days is sufficient. But I'll just... It's really important. 14 days to try and work it. Oh, God. I'm reminded that there's a lot of Queensland health documents that also are in the same category. So it's difficult right now.
But that doesn't matter, because what you're looking at is not to identify specific things that you don't want published, although you might do that just by the way. It's to identify the kinds of things that you don't want published that can justify a an order in terms that specify those kinds of things. Isn't that right?
Well, that can only be done though by looking at a document that, for example, contains a QP number and a name, and then going back to the investigator and trying to work out what's going on with that particular matter and whether there is sensitivity about it, whether it's ongoing, whether it's finalised.
But
it won't be apparent just by looking at a document that it is or is not in that category. There will need to be a check to see what that QP number, for example.
No, but I mean, the QP number, for example, ought not be of any interest to be published.
Right? Agreed, but that's sometimes in the documents the only clue that we have, all we'll have is a QP number and perhaps a name of a person from whom a swab was taken. And that won't assist us just by looking at it to determine who the defendant is, what the investigation relates to.
So how is your client going to identify what it is that's dangerous to publish?
We'd have to cross-reference the specifics in each document to Q-Prime and identify which case it is. But
you're speaking about specific cases. I'm speaking about police investigators who would say, because this is a new problem that's arisen for police, those particular police, they would sit down with a pile of documents that have been tendered that contain details, and they ought to see that, well, we can't have this kind of thing published because this might happen. For example, to take a hypothetical case, we don't want anything published about warrants that we have applied for and that have been granted to us that we haven't served yet. We don't want any information published that we have received DNA results in particular cases that we're still investigating. And those ideas would pop out to them and they could be made the subject of general propositions.
That's right. But the point I'm making is that there's a two-stage process. The first is to identify which are the cases that are referred to in the myriad documents that you have, Commissioner, and then speak to the police involved.
I'm talking about the notion that would appear to an investigator, an experienced investigator not involved necessarily in any of the cases,
right,
who would then say, well, we don't want these kinds of things published, rather than it wouldn't be practical in the time that remains in this commission for me to expect you to identify specific matters in all the documents. They'd have to be categories of matters, and those sorts of things should become apparent. And I might think that it's better to err on the side of caution and make each category, you know, make them wider rather than narrow. I don't know. I haven't heard Mr. Clark, but that kind of work wouldn't take days.
If you just bear with me a moment.
And the other thing, just before you consult with your colleagues, is this, that we don't have to do this with specificity today. There'll have to be something done today if I change anything that doesn't foreclose the position for your client.
I understand that.
I'm sorry. What I mean is we can come back on Monday. We can come back on the weekend if necessary, but we can come back on Monday to reformulate the interim position. So it's not everything today.
I understand. Commissioner, that sounds like a more workable solution.
So what do you propose? Put articulate it for me, please.
To the extent that interim orders are needed today, you make them. We're not sure that an interim order is required, although we apprehend from submissions that were made by our colleague that an order is sought that would permit publication of documents that relate to the matter that's in the news this afternoon. And I'll make some separate submissions about that. but that you allow us sufficient time to review some of the material, put together an affidavit that will exemplify the categories of matters about which we have concerns. We think that that could be done probably by the middle of next week or the second half of next week.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you hear the matter, then perhaps it won't be me. If it's Thursday or Friday, it won't be me, but I'll be in Sydney.
What about the case? I just can't remember the name of it, so I'm not being coy, but the case that was on the front page of the Courier sometime today. They can write about the case, because it doesn't matter. What you're talking about is revealing contents of documents in relation to the case.
Well, it's the reporting that I've seen today has all been completely anodyne. All it does is report the fact that he's been apprehended and reiterates publicly known matters, such as the fact that he allegedly absconded from Australia within a very short period of murder, leaving behind family members.
Yes.
And that's the extent of it.
But a journalist can find out anything he or she wants and publish it within the law. But you're concerned about not permitting publication of the contents of documents relating to that case for the moment.
For the moment, because of the...
There might be nothing there about the case that everybody doesn't know about. I don't know.
As I understood the evidence, and it's been a while now, but as I understood it, it was to the effect that there were samples of that turned out to contain the deceased's own DNA.
Yes.
That were initially either no DNA or DFP, and that when they were reworked came back as being a complete match to her. I'm not certain of this, but I don't recall seeing anything about the putative defendant and his DNA.
Mm.
But I don't want to be dogmatic about that. My concern really is that if the reports are true and this man is in custody in India, then presumably there will be proceedings brought to extradite him to Australia. And I don't pretend to have any familiarity with Indian extradition law beyond the fact that I know we have a treaty.
Well, the position at the moment is that nobody in the room, it might be a journalist who does know this, but nobody else in the room knows what might be in the documents that's very interesting to write a story about. And your client is intensely interested in the case and wants to ensure it's not prejudiced. So in relation to that case, subject to what Mr. Clark says, it might be right not to exclude the use of the documents. They can talk about the case, but the use of the documents is another thing until your client's had a chance to look at it, which it might do as a matter of priority, I guess.
And obviously we're concerned that I don't know what submissions might be made in an Indian court about the prospects of a fair trial in this country, but we're concerned that anything reported here...
Well, I'm obliged to proceed so as not to impinge upon a fair trial in this country, so the Indians shouldn't be too worried about what I do, I hope.
I'm not suggesting anyone's concerned about what you might do, Commissioner. I'm more concerned about the... an argument being made about prejudicial publicity.
Oh, yeah, but that argument will be made, no doubt. And but it won't be because of anything. Anyway, let's not go there because it's outside our control. It's in the future. Can we get down to detail then? What the current order is? That subject to limited exceptions, nothing be published, references to QP numbers and names and contact details and names of police operations and details that may identify investigations, that is details that might identify the existence of an investigation by police that are found in documents are to be published. And that seems to me to be very wide. But is that what you want until, say, Monday when you've got a clearer picture? I don't mean that you'll do your work by Monday, but your client will have had a chance to think about things and talk to you, and so you can come back with something with some more detailed propositions.
Thank you.
How does that sound, Mr. Clark? I know it's unsatisfactory, but on the other hand, your client's had since September to complain about the order and hasn't.
Yes, that's so. Monday's, I'm sure it's fine.
Yes.
In respect of that particular example, I'm instructed that there isn't anything in the material other than as described by my learned friend. But in terms of the interim position, just with respect to that case, and I don't purport to be an expert on extradition law in India either.
Oh, forget about that.
The current broad terms prevent the identification, not just the reporting of evidence before the commission with respect to any particular
case. The current terms are, I see, that are contained in documents, names that are contained in documents must not be published.
That's it's extraordinary.
No, I understand. It's so, because I did it extempore.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, then it has to be changed to the extent that you will. Well, this governs everybody, of course. It's been ignored, so there we are.
Well, it's been adhered to, as I understand it, that our names haven't been
I think the man who's been identified in India has been identified, so I don't know if his name's in the documents or not. Anyway.
Commissioner, what this limits is the publication of evidence given before this commission with respect to that. It doesn't purport to extend beyond its bounds and purport to regulate the publication of things in relation to cases or evidence outside the commission. So that report, for example, it's missing is the sentence at the end of the report which says, and reader, this is FYI one of the cases that's been referred to in the inquiry. And that's absent.
Mm. But that's not a case or detail in a document tendered during public hearings.
My understanding of the current form of the existing non-publication order 12 is that in its effect, it prevents the identification of cases before the commission. And so a publication which said on the basis of using the example we're talking about, if a media report was written about that and there was a sentence in it which said, and reader FYI, this is a case that's been referred to in the commission of inquiry, then that would offend this non-publication order, is my understanding of the effect of it.
Well, it's one way of reading it, and so you should be concerned about that, rightly. So what do you suggest I do?
Outside of...
Just let me put this to you, all right?
Yes.
I'll keep the current order in place until Monday afternoon, and subject to some kind of obviously rational exception in relation to this recent case that doesn't preclude your client feeling that there's any risk of contravening this order by writing whatever your client wants to write about the case, but not to reveal the contents of documents. How does that sound?
As an interim measure, that's acceptable.
Yeah, interim measure, yes. So why don't you draft something in relation to that last proposition and show Mr. Hunter, and I'll wait while you do it. And I'll leave the order in place, but on the understanding that at a time convenient to both of you, we can reconvene in whatever courtroom I'm given to use, and we'll see where we stand. How's that?
Thank you, Commissioner. All right. Monday afternoon, I think, is suitable to
all right.
us.
Well, then I'll withdraw while you draft a third exception in paragraph 3 relating to this that particular matter, which ensures that the only thing you can't do is to reveal the contents of documents as contents of documents. Well, you understand what we're talking about, don't
yes,
you? All right, well, then I'll adjourn until I hear from you.
All rise. Please be seated.
So I understand you don't need me to do anything this afternoon. Is that right?
Yes, that's Commissioner. Right. Taking further instructions. And
all right.
Yes, my client's just requires some time to carefully review the evidence. And yeah. Happy to take till then, till one day.
Good. Now, Mr. Clark, have a seat. Mr. Clark, Mr. Hunter, I thought that I should tell you that one proposition that I think is applicable is this. I've compelled police to reveal documents for the purposes of this inquiry. The full content of a particular document, say a case file, is not material to my inquiry. There are particular parts of it that are material to my inquiry. And those are the parts that I require and in relation to which a question will arise whether it's in the public interest to restrain publication about those matters. In relation to the rest of the document, which is not relevant to my inquiry except that it is a case file, and so one can't ignore that it's a case file that contains matter. I don't think it's right to regard the fact that those other parts of a document that have had to be disclosed as part of what I'm actually interested in fall within the same category as the information that I'm actually using. The information that I'm actually using, prima facie, ought to be available to the public as part of the nature of a commission of inquiry. But the information that I'm not using is not in the same category, and consequently, the power that I had to compel production of documents generally, including matters irrelevant to my inquiry, can't be regarded as a de facto right to information process. So insofar as, for example, evidence was given reliant upon documents, that particular DNA tests in a murder investigation failed, and then particular DNA tests in relation to the same murder investigation succeeded, and that there was a particular murder investigation, are matters that are central to the task of the inquiry and ought prima facie be capable of publication. But there will be information in relation to that particular case that just happened to have been disclosed because it's impossible not to disclose it to me. And those things might be of great public interest generally, but not because of my inquiry. So I don't know that the same considerations apply to them. I haven't formed my final view about that, but that sounds right to me. So you might both bear that in mind in case it comes to a point where I have to make a decision. And Mr. Clark, thank you for the cases. And they do reflect the general proposition about open justice, but I don't think that the principles referred to by Justice McHugh, for example, directly applicable to me, because I'm not a judge and I'm not administering justice. I'm a commissioner of inquiry, an agent of the executive conducting an investigation. So the extent to which I have to proceed in a particular way depends upon the statute and the common law relating to fairness and so on that apply to investigations conducted by the executive, which are different but in some ways analogous to courts of law, but they're different. So the concepts are different. So if it comes to argument, you might take that into account and see whether there are principles that you find in the cases that pertain particularly to commissions of inquiry as opposed to judges who are under much more stringent requirements of openness. Thank you. We'll adjourn then till, we'll adjourn. And if required, we'll reconvene at a time that you fix.
All right.